Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Greater Alton Church. My name's Tim, and I'm one of the guys that talks occasionally here now, and it's really good to have you with us today. I want to say good to have you back, Junior High. Oh, there they were. I know they had a crazy week, very difficult, hot, and yet a great week at camp. It's good to have them back, and I know if you're in high school, we're still signing up campers for Little Prairie Bible Camp for senior week in July. Another thing to let you know about is our marriage retreat. We're going to be having a great weekend, and some of you may be asking, well, how are we signing up this year? Well, you can start signing up at the Welcome Center as you go out these doors to your right. And we're asking that this year we're going to be asking you to get your rooms through Greater Alton. They're asking us to do it that way. So after services, if you'd like to find out a little bit more about our marriage retreat, just walk out the doors here to your right, the Welcome Center. They'll try to answer those questions. We're in a series of lessons called God Is. And why are we doing this? Well, I think it's good for us to look at the attributes of God, the many sides of God. It helps us understand how he works. And we've been doing that. Last couple of weeks, I've been very blessed to have TK and Mark talk to us about God's love and his wisdom. And we've got a deep bench here. It's really cool to see that. And it gives an old man lots of pleasure and comfort to know there's a bench of men to go to. Mike is teaching next week. And so I'm excited to be able to watch God work through our teaching team of young men. Here's a passage I want you to look at, okay? Because we've been looking at this, and it's not on your notes, it's just up here on the screen. It's in Deuteronomy 3. Moses is speaking here. Deuteronomy means to say again or to review. So the book of Deuteronomy is a review of Israel. It's a reminder. It's a book that reminds us. And Moses is speaking here, and he says, Lord God, you have begun to show me, your servant, how great you are. There's no other God like you. And that's for several weeks we've been looking at the greatness of God, looking at his love, his wisdom, his patience with us. That he's not only is he love and he's patient, but he's also powerful. We're going to be looking at that and merciful. Bob Hawkins is going to be wrapping this series up. It's a 13-week series, and we're looking at all these different sides of God. And what do we discover? How great he truly is by looking at his attributes. And so today I want to talk about just the justice of God, that God is fair, that he is right, and he's faithful with that. It doesn't take long for you to understand this. We learn this early on in life. We witness injustice as kids. Maybe mom would used to say, okay, we had one cookie, but there were two boys. Well, let's divide the cookie. And she would break it in half, and one would get one of the other. And what would Danny and I do? We'd look the cookie over. We'd compare to see, are we getting the same size cookie? And usually the one that got shafted or didn't get quite as much would say, that's not fair. While the other one would say, I'm perfectly fine with it, Mom. Great, you did a great job. We do that with soda, orange juice, milk, whatever it be, chores. We would compare them. And as a kid, even at school, you'd go to school. And somebody, the teacher would say, you know, the next person that speaks up, I'm not going to let you all have recess. And what would happen? Little Billy would go, huh, what did you say? And then she'd go, that's it. None of you get to go to recess. And the rest of us, who were good and were quiet, we would say, that's not fair. Am I close? You remember the first time? It was over a cookie, over maybe a whatever it be. We say that. We learn early. There's lots of injustice in earth. And by the way, as you grow up, it doesn't go away. As adults, we find ourselves going, that's not fair. Why did they get the promotion and I didn't? That's not fair. Why did I get the ticket? You should give tickets to everybody, officer. You know, we look at the workplace at home. That's not fair. That's just not fair. Even today, our culture, Lord help us, our culture, constantly someone is screaming for justice. Someone is protesting for justice, and we've grown accustomed to it so much that many times we're numb to it. They didn't even get our attention anymore. They block traffic. They're burning buildings down. And what are they saying? And they're adults. Adults. We want justice. And when do we want it, folks? Now. Not later. Why? Because it's unfair. Now, I know it's easy to pick on people out there, but even amongst us believers, don't we have problems with this too? When we think it's unfair? God, you're unfair. Life's unfair. I take care of myself. Why have I got cancer? This is unfair. I raised my kids, really did the best I could, and some of them are not doing what they need to be doing. I'm bothered with this. It's not fair. I understand that. I've lost lots of family to disease. You have too. And there's moments it crosses your mind. You got to admit. Why is it happening to me? This is the big question that a lot of people will ask. They'll say, why are bad things happening to good people? And good things seem to be happening to all these bad people. It's not fair. Jeremiah, who was called the weeping prophet, because he would preach sometimes, he'd just cry because it was so painful. It was so painful what he was having to tell people. And it was tough for him. He was picked on. He was persecuted by his own people. By his own church, he would say these words here in Jeremiah 12, verse 1. It says, Lord, when I bring a matter to you, you always do what is right. But now I'd like to speak with you about whether you are being fair. I know you're right, but are you being fair? I mean, why are sinful people successful? Why do those who can't be trusted have an easy life? Even us as followers of God, we have those moments where we go, I just don't understand why I'm being good. I'm putting money in the plate. What about Bob? I'm doing the work. Yeah, I'm doing the work, but it seems like it doesn't swing my way. Why is that? It just seems so unfair. I love this passage in Psalms 73. It's Asaph speaking here, and it's out of the Message paraphrase. See if you can relate to this. What's going on here? Is God out to lunch? Nobody's tending the store. The wicked get by with everything. They have it made, piling up riches. I've been stupid to play by the rules. What's it gotten me? A long run of bad luck, that's what. A slap in the face every time I walk out the door. You ever felt like that? I'm doing the right thing. I'm being an honest person. I'm being a person of integrity. I pay my taxes. I don't cheat on my wife. And yet all this stuff's happened. How come? And I look at some of these people out there and they're getting away with murder. This is unfair, Lord. Asaph goes on to say this. If I'd given in and talked like this, I would have betrayed your dear children. Still, when I try to figure it out, all I'm getting is a splitting headache. Then he says, until I entered the sanctuary of God, and then I saw the whole picture. I got into your presence, Lord, and I begin to realize, wow, this is bigger. And he goes on to talk about what happens to the wicked, what happens to those that disobey the Lord. He sees the rest of the picture. You see, sometimes when life is unfair, we only see part of what's going on. And only in the presence of God, only when we get into the scripture, we get into prayer, we get into some discussions with other Christians, other believers, because when two or more are gathered, Jesus is there, He is present. That's when we begin to see a bigger picture that God is much more fair than I thought, that He is a God of justice. That He is fair. Look at Deuteronomy 32. Moses is speaking near the end of this book now. He says this about God. He is a reliable God who is never unjust. He is fair and upright. David said this. But lots of times David would question God's fairness. And look what he says here in Psalms 33. The Lord loves righteousness and justice. See, God loves. He loves doing the right thing. He loves doing the just thing. He wants to do the fair thing in your life. and he will. Well, what makes God, I got to thinking about this, so what is makes God fair? What makes him just? These are just up on the screen. I'm going to rifle these through some of these. These are a few things that I believe make an impact that make God just and fair. First, it's his character. What God does, everything he does is based on who he is. Not on a whim or a bias or a favoritism. It's who he is. He does the right thing because that's his character. Look at this. This is a passage I'm just going to read to you. You can write it down. Job 34:12, and look at it sometime. This is out of the Living Bible. Listen to this. This is a friend of Job. Job is going through the ringer in life, and a friend of his says these words. There is no truer statement than this. God is never wicked or unjust. That's true. God, why? Because it's not in his character to be wicked or unfair. Abraham is talking to God while he's getting ready to go to Sodom and Gomorrah, where his nephew Lot is living. And Sodom and Gomorrah is an awful place to live. It's just evil. And God is getting ready to destroy those two towns. And so Abraham begins to negotiate a little bit with the Lord. And here's what he says to God. He says, it would be unthinkable for you to do such a thing, that is to destroy these two cities, to treat the innocent and the guilty alike, and to kill the innocent with the guilty. That would be unthinkable. Won't the judge of the whole earth do what is fair? Look at that. Abraham knows it's not your character. It's unthinkable, unfathomable. It'd be ridiculous that you would destroy the good and the bad together because you're fair. That's what you are. That's what I know about you, Lord. I can trust your character. You are fair and just. But in this character, what do we see? Well, another attribute that I believe that affects God's fairness is his righteousness. He's righteous. What's that mean? He's right. He's right. I don't know about you. Is it hard for you to admit someone else is right? You know, Denise will go, come on, I was wrong. There you go. You know, you were right, I was wrong. God is, you know, it's hard for us to, we think we're right. When the Bible says none is righteous, not even one. You're not going to be right all the time. God is. That's what righteousness is. You know, it's funny. There's so much injustice on the earth because there's no righteousness on the earth. Like I say, Romans 3:10, there are none righteous, not even one. That's by the way, Romans 3:10 is quoting an Old Testament passage. So in the Old Testament and the New Testament, there is little to no righteousness on earth. You only find righteousness in heaven, in the presence of God. He always does what is right. None of us can say we've always done what's right. And if you're going to be just and be fair, you've got to be able to do it right all the time. There's another thing here, his omniscience. That's another thing that makes an impact on God's fairness. He knows. He knows everything. What's the Bible say in Hebrews? That everything is uncovered and laid before the eyes of whom we must give account. Everything. He knows it all. A lot of times, I don't know if you know this or not, but typically, annually in the United States, which has a justice system that is envied in other worlds, they convict 200,000 people every year. United States courts. 0.5% are innocent. That's what's believed. 0.5%. Well, that's not much. It's 1,000 people. How do you feel about that? Knowing that 1,000 people annually are incarcerated, convicted and incarcerated for a crime they didn't do. How's that possible? How can we miss 1,000 innocent people? That's easy because judges don't know everything. A lot of cases don't get all the evidence. They get what they can and they make the best decision. The juries make the best decision they can based on the evidence they hear, but they don't hear it all. God has it all. He has it all, everything. What's behind it, what's in front of it, below it, whatever. He knows everything about every case, every person. He has it all. He knows it all. Another thing is that infects us is his omnipotence. Now, what are you talking about? His power. You know, judges have a lot of power. Would you agree with that? Yeah, even this week, Supreme Court is dealing with judges, and our circuit judges, our federal judges. And the interesting thing about a judge is they can make a judgment, even a fair one, because they have the right evidence, but it can still be overturned. Have you noticed that? It can still be appealed and overturned. But with God, see, He has not only the knowledge, but the power to carry out the sentence. He knows it's right, and he knows all the evidence, but He has the power to guarantee it, that it'll be a fair and just verdict. And the last of all, he's fair. His fairness comes from His mercy, from His love. I think about, because God, this is something that, because He loves you, He loves me, He's merciful, that has an impact on how He lands when He judges you and I. And He has incredible love. We're going to see that in a minute here. Now let's look at this passage as we transition into the main points of this lesson. Look at this passage here in your notes. Again, this is Deuteronomy 32. I mentioned it earlier in the lesson. Let's read the rest of it here. This is out of the Easy translation. He is the strong rock. This is Moses talking. Where we can be safe. Everything that He does is perfect. In other words, He does it right. It's right all the time. God does it right all the time. He only does what is right and fair. And I love this. We can trust Him to be faithful. I can trust God's justice. You see that? I can trust it. He's going to do the right thing in my life, the right thing for me, the right thing with me, the right thing with everybody else. He's going to be fair, and He's going to be right. He's going to be just. So because God is fair, let's look at these main points here, these four here. There's several, but I picked four that I think we need to hear. Maybe I need to hear. Okay. Of course I need to hear. Number one, I can trust God to settle the score. Because God is fair, I can trust Him to settle the score. I don't know of any time, and maybe you can relate to this, I don't know of a time when it's more discouraging or I have doubts about what God is doing when I experience injustice, personally experience when somebody's been unfair to me. You ever notice that about yourself? That when life is unfair, it hurts. I've been treated unfairly. Someone in my family, someone in my community, someone in my church, I've been treated unfairly. That is not the way, that is not right, and that's not just, it's not fair, and it hurts. It wounds. I'm reading a book, I've finished reading a book called Wounded Church. It made me nauseous as I read it. How we as churches, we hurt each other. No one means to hurt. Listen, I want to tell you right now, I am not out to get anybody today. When you read a book like that, you realize because we're human beings and we're hurt people, we hurt people. But a church needs to be a place where people find healing, not necessarily harm. I know sometimes we have to hurt people to help people, blah, 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 blah. But man, it's got to be about healing. Healing. And let's face it, sometimes people, they treat us unjustly, an enemy, a friend, a family member. Something happens, something doesn't go our way, we feel it's unfair, and it just hurts so much. And if we're not careful, a bitter root can begin to grow and anger us so much that we seek revenge. What is it in the movie Tombstone? I love movies. Tombstone? Doc is what Wyatt says. Doc, what's the Ringo Kid want? Revenge? He goes, why no, Wyatt? He don't want revenge. He wants a reckoning. And you know, sometimes that's what we want. More than that, we want a reckoning. We want it completely made right. And sometimes we take that matter into our own hands. And the problem is, we're lousy at it. I'm lousy at getting even. I don't know how you guys are. Maybe if you're good at it, I need to talk to you because I got some people. Oh, wait a minute. But you know, I mean, every time I try to take matters in my own hands, it just doesn't work out the way I thought it was going to work out. I remember years ago as a youth minister, and the man discipling was Rex Crossland. And Rex and I, he was, you know, it was a country church, a little church, middle of nowhere. It's called Eureka, which, by the way, the Greek word means I have found. And that if you found the building, you would say, Eureka! And it was a little country church. We wore bib overalls. You know, I wore a three-piece suit my first day to work. And Rex goes, no. Go get your jeans and your flannel shirt. I was excited. Didn't have to wear that anymore. But it was a farming. It was a farmer community. And, you know, they got records from the 1880s when they baptized people. The church started with 20 baptisms, and they started a church. It was exciting. It was written with a quill. It was really, really cool. Well, then we began to start having some baptisms. We had 20 one year, then 35 another year. And Rex, was starting to get the big head. Look what I'm doing. And now over half of them were teenagers. So guess where I was? I was getting jealous. And everybody's mooning up to him and patting him on the back and thinking, man, Rex, man, you got this church going on the right track. And I'm going, hey, who am I? Chopped liver? And I remember thinking, man, I wish he'd get what he deserves. Arrogant slob. And then one day, I don't know what he did, but two of the elders corner him and they are down his throat with both feet. And I'm going, hey, wait a minute. Whoa. Lord, I didn't know. This is not what I had in mind. Oh, no. This is what you wanted, right, Tim? You want vengeance. I'm doing it. Aren't you happy? No, I'm not happy. No, stop. Stop it. Why? Because I'm lousy. And you are lousy at getting even. You know what it is when we want to get even? We don't get even, we get a little bit more. Isn't it funny? We have protesting going on in our nation over intolerance and want justice, and yet we do some of the most unjust things to get our point across. Well, I don't have to burn a building to do that. I can do that in my own home, in my workplace, and even in my congregation. But God says, would you let me settle the score? You see, when I'm trying to get even, it's evil. By the way, revenge is not evil because God does revenge. He says, let me avenge. Well, what makes his righteous and mine evil? Because his vengeance fits the crime. He doesn't go overboard with it. And as hard as we might try to make it even, we always end up with the bigger half. We want that bigger half of that cookie. Look at this passage here. I love this. God is fair. He'll pay back trouble for those who give you trouble. Don't look at the person that's going to give you trouble. But I'm just saying, will God take care of it? God will take care of it. He really will. I love this passage in Revelation 16. It says, then I heard the altar reply. This is after he's talking about the judgment of the world. It said, Lord God who rules over all, the way you judge is true and fair. Who is saying these words at the altar of God? By the way, in the presence of God, where you see the whole picture of everything. The people that are speaking here are the Christian believers who were persecuted and killed. They were sawed in two like this. They were beheaded. They were pulled apart. They would take ropes and tie one around each foot and each hand, and they would take horses and pull you apart. They would drop you in boiling oil in a chair. You ever heard of the term hot seat? That's where it comes from. The Romans were great at this. They'd boil you like a French fry. They'd kill your family right in front of you. If you read the Fox's Book of Martyrs, the historical recording of the persecution of the early church, it's just overwhelming. And what do they say? We have been killed by people, mistreated by people. People lost everything, their homes, their jobs, their family. They were treated awful because they believed in Jesus, not as Lord, not Caesar as Lord. And they said, Lord, your judgment is true and fair. How can they say that? I just got beat up. How can they say that? They say that because they see the big picture. They know God is just. They're at the altar of God. And the wrath of God is not coming down on them like they thought. Jesus modeled this for us. Probably one of the most difficult passages of Scripture that I find in the Bible is this one here in 1 Peter 2. It says, people insulted Christ, but he did not say any bad thing to answer them. People caused him to have trouble, but he never tried to hurt them in return. Instead, Christ trusted God to help him. He knew that God always judges people fairly. I was reading that this morning. I wish I could put my name where Jesus is. I can't. People insulted him, but he did not say any bad thing to answer them. People caused Tim to have trouble, but Tim never tried to hurt them in return. Instead, Tim trusted God to help him. Tim knew that God always judged people fairly. Look at that passage. Just take a second and put your name there. Read that to yourselves. Jesus wants your name there. You trust God, your name can be in that passage. Because why? Because when you trust God, you're like Jesus. And you can trust him to settle the score. I'm saying to you, whatever's been done to you, whatever's been said to you, all of us here, if we were to talk about it, like one preacher said, we'd laugh at ourselves for our lack of originality. All of us have those stories. Jesus Christ says, I understand it too, but you can count on me to be fair. I will make it right. I will make it right. Number two, because God is fair, I can trust God will be merciful. He'll be merciful. Mercy plays a vital role in bringing out justice. I want to show you a short clip of someone maybe you've seen before.
In my courtroom, I've seen people at their best and sometimes at their lowest. But no matter who stands before me, rich or poor, young or old, I try to see something more than just a case number. I try to see the person. Because behind every traffic ticket, behind every missed court date, there's a story. A single mom trying to make ends meet. A veteran struggling to get back on his feet. A teenager who just made a mistake. We all stumble sometimes. But when we meet those stumbles with kindness instead of judgment, with compassion instead of criticism, we give people a second chance, not just in court, but in life. I believe in the power of mercy, because when you show someone a little understanding, it can change their whole day, sometimes their whole life. So here's my message to you today. Be kind, be fair, be human. You never know what someone else is going through, and your compassion might be the one thing they remember forever.
I've watched a dozen of those videos. I'm thinking right now, the mercy and compassion and empathy that Jesus is laying on me right now, as I stand here, as you sit there, this mercy from this fair judge, he knows the backstory. I don't know your backstory. That's why I judge you unfairly. That's why we judge each other unfairly. We just don't know the backstory. But Jesus does. I can count on that. You can count on that. Thank you. Thank you, God. And it's only in His presence we see this greatness again being seen. What a passage. It's so many times been misused, but what a passage it still is, where these two thieves are with Jesus on the cross. And if we pick it up here in Luke 23, one of the criminals hanging there insulted Jesus. "So you're really the Messiah, are you? Well, save yourself and us." But the other criminal scolded him. "Don't you fear God at all? Can't listen to this statement. Can't you see you're condemned in the same way he is?" You ever wonder if Jesus was condemned on the cross like you and I? Even the thief knew it. He was right there beside him. He saw it. He's being condemned just like us. And then he says, "Our punishment is fair. We're getting what we deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." And then he said, then he looks at Jesus and goes, "Would you remember me when you enter your kingdom?" And look what Jesus says. This is the God that's fair. The powerful God. He's going to resurrect in 3 days. You know that, right? That's how powerful this Jesus is. Made everything, according to John 1. Made you, made me, made the trees, made everything. Resurrects, overcomes death. He says, "I can guarantee this truth." What? I can guarantee you something. Today you're going to be with me in paradise. He knew the backstory. He knows your backstory. "Because I can guarantee you, because I'm just, and I will make things right for you. I want justice. I want fairness." Jesus, the Bible tells us that's how God feels. "So much that not only will I make it, I'll make it right myself. I'll become the justifier." Paul, who calls himself the worst sinner, says this in Romans 3. God gave Jesus as a way to forgive people's sin through their faith in Him. God can forgive them because the blood sacrifice of Jesus pays for their sins. God gave Jesus to show that He always does what is right and fair. He was right in the past when He was patient and did not punish people for their sins. And in our time, He still does what is right and, may I add, fair. God worked all this out in a way that allows Him to judge people fairly and still make right. Look at the promise. Any person. Anyone. Anyone who has faith in Jesus. Church, when I break all this stuff down, I think about, I'm not an innocent man. You're not an innocent human being. We're as guilty as sin itself. I'm still guilty of a crime. I'm still guilty. But I'm not condemned. As a believer, I'm not condemned. I'm guilty, but not condemned. Not condemned. He made it right. I'm vindicated. You're vindicated as a follower of Christ. You are justified, which means just as if I'd done nothing wrong. There's nothing to blame me for anymore, because it's been taken away. It's like going to the bank and saying, "I'm here to make a car payment." "Well, you have no payments." "Oh yeah, I do. I have car payments." "No, they've been paid. But I came here to make a payment, and I'm making that payment." You'd be a fool. It's been paid off. "Tim, it's been paid off for 10 years. What are you talking about? Who paid it off?" "Denise paid it off." "Well, she didn't tell me." "So I don't have to pay anymore?" "You don't have to pay for that anymore." "Then I'm not paying." That's one less thing to worry about. One less thing to be afraid of. You see, a merciful judge worked it all out. I've watched Frank Capiro. If you've watched any of his videos many times, he'll say, "I have a check here. It's from so-and-so from Minneapolis, Minnesota. Says if any veteran you have needs some money to pay for a ticket, here's $50 to do that. This, we're going to use this to pay for your ticket, sir." "Well, thank you very much. Thank you very much, Judge." Sometimes he'll pull his own billfold out and tell his sidekick, "Hey, man, let's get this. I'm going to take care of that myself." Jesus takes care of it himself. He makes it all right, and he made it right with his blood, his very own life. So I can trust God to be merciful when I come before Him. I can trust that. I can believe that. Number three, I can trust God will do what is best for me. Because He's fair, because He's right, He's going to do what's right and fair and best for me. I love the Apostle Paul. He's learned to relax. I need to learn to relax. Maybe you do too, okay? And Paul's saying, relax. Look, I'm going to keep on being glad. He's in prison, folks. He's in chains. He goes, I'm going to keep being glad, for I know that you pray for me. And as the Holy Spirit helps me, this is all going to turn out for good. Well, listen to you. Well, it is. It's all going to turn out just fine. Does God know what is best for me? That's a big question that I've answered in my life. Have you answered that? Does God know what is best for me? His fairness ensures it. Will He do what's best for me? His fairness ensures it. And because He's just, like Romans 8, He works everything for good. He's able to do something with all of that. So everything that happens, anything that happens to me, I need to hear this morning. Maybe you can just overhear it. I need whatever happens to me, everything that happens to me. I am sure you will do what is right with me, what is just, what is fair. You'll do what's best for me. I love, look at this passage in Nehemiah. You think, what's this got to do with it? Well, when you start looking at the context of what's going on, they're rebuilding the wall. They've just completed rebuilding the wall of Jerusalem. They've restored the wall and the temple, and the people are coming back. The town is being restored. It's been destroyed. Nebuchadnezzar leveled it. It's been sitting idle for generations. And here he starts praying as they complete the wall. And now, O great and awesome God, you who keep your promises of love and kindness, do not let all the hardships we have gone through become as nothing to you. They're not. Great trouble has come upon us and upon our kings and princes and priests and prophets and ancestors of the days when the kings of Assyria, that was 722 BC. Nehemiah is talking around 450 BC. We're talking several years here, folks. They first triumphed over us until now. Every time, listen to this, he says this to God, every time you punished us, you were being perfectly fair. We have sinned so greatly that you gave us only what we deserved. And then he goes on to talk about, and look where we are. You've brought us back. All that discipline, all those warnings, all those times we were in captivity, Assyrian captivity, Babylonian captivity, and now as we're in Persian captivity, you're letting us come back and rebuild the city. What an exciting thing. So all of that really worked. Like Joseph would say to his brothers, you meant it for harm, but God produced good from it. And so I can trust God, whatever He's doing in your life right now, trust Him. It's ultimately going to result in good. You say, but I want justice and I want it. And He says, wait. I want it now. This is the half a cookie I'm giving you right now. It's fair. More's coming. More cookies? Yeah, more cookies. You're going to be okay. And number four, because God is fair, I can trust God to reward my faith. I love this Hebrews 6 here. God is always fair. He'll remember how you helped His people in the past and how you are still helping them. You belong to God, and He won't forget the love you've shown His people. Yesterday, this room was much different. Lots of tables, lots of people. The parking lot was packed. The place had all these people. And I'm watching pictures of Kelsey's mom just all over the place. And she's talking, you know, they're doing, and then people are talking and they're eating. and I'm watching how are they celebrating this woman's life? How many people this woman touched? It's incredible. You touch a lot more people than you realize, folks. And I'm pictures of her face all over the place. She's going through that. Oh, I can't say it. I'm not allowed to say it. Through cancer. The great, just thievery. Incredible, awful disease. And yet everybody's eating and remembering and celebrating. I see all these faces in pictures and in the crowd. But let me tell you, the faces I happened to catch yesterday were faces of Greater Alton. So many of you serving, opening the door. Had two handsome men open the door. Yeah, amen. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. You know that? Watching a line of tables. Food was, whoever sent the food home, they want you to eat some of this. Oh, it was good. But I'm watching these people serving. I'm watching people setting up chairs, taking down chairs, picking stuff up, cleaning up. These people that came to celebrate someone they love, don't have to worry about cleaning up. They don't have to worry about making sure there's something to do. All these servants. I was so, and if it's a wrong, I'll say it this way. I'm so grateful for the servants here at Greater Old. You guys really, some of you here all day and most of the evening. Maybe someone didn't notice that. Maybe it wasn't just here. Maybe you were doing something else for someone. You were helping somebody with a flat tire. Or you were helping somebody going through a tough time. They're scared or between jobs. Or you're fixing something at their house. Or you're giving them some food. Whatever you're doing something to someone out of your love. You're helping them. And maybe they're not grateful. Maybe they forget. Maybe they don't even care. Your name is not in the paper. It's hardly spoken. That's unfair. God is always fair. He remembers. He doesn't forget everything you do. He sees it all. And he's not bothered at all. He remembers it all. Appreciates it. And because you bless others, listen to me. When you bless others, God is ready to bless you. Look at this passage in 2 Timothy as we're getting ready to close this lesson out. Paul said, I have fought well. I have finished the race. I have been faithful. So a crown will be given to me for pleasing the Lord. I didn't know it said that as I was doing. He judges fairly. I didn't know it was there. I've always saw that other stuff. It has to do with his fairness. He judges fairly, and on the day of judgment, he'll give a crown to me and to everyone else who wants him to appear with power. God is fair. He doesn't forget. He rewards your faith each time, and even this morning, I'm hoping somebody here this morning, you're getting ready to make another decision about following Christ, maybe in a more serious way. Or you're going to start implementing some, like, you know what? I'm going to start trusting God in some places. I haven't been trusting in a while. God's not going to sit still and just, no, when you start doing stuff like that, it's almost like, you know, he's in heaven, maybe him and Gabriel are talking, and all of a sudden he goes, wait a second, Gabriel, Jim is about to do something. Chrissy's doing another card. Well, wait a minute, I'm in the middle of something. Wait a minute, look at this, watch this. Bob's helping somebody. What's Sue planning now? Look at that. Did you see that? Who's Sue? I'll tell you who Sue is. If you want something done, get a hold of Sue. And on and on and on. Everybody's names. Everybody. And he just sits there and marvels. And he has to get off his throne to bless you because he wants to. That's how he feels about people who are faithful. He would not think of doing anything less because he's fair. He's fair. He will reward your faith. Here's the last passage we're going to look at, and then you've got some cards if you want to fill out a card here. Is it up on the screen, or did I drop it? Let me read this passage to you. This is there it is, Psalms 96. I thought this was interesting. Like I say, when you look up every verse that says judge, judging, judges, justified, just, right, fair, you find interesting verses. And the psalmist says this, the fields and all the their crops should shout with joy. Then all the trees in the forest will also sing because they're so happy. They will sing to praise the Lord, for he'll come to judge the earth. He is a fair judge. And he'll judge all the people of the world with his truth, with what's right. And I want to say to you as we close here, I want to encourage you, join the fields, join the crops, join the trees in the forest and praise your God for being so just and so fair with you. Get into God's presence. Maybe you're not into God's presence. Maybe you've not as close to God. I would say move closer to God and let him show you the whole picture. And so you can see how fair, how merciful, how honest and true and right, powerful, and knows you. All that stuff, all that greatness there when you get in his presence. Let him do that and praise God and trust your God because he is fair. Big question I want to ask you this morning as we close. Where will you trust God today? Where do you need to trust God today? Do you need to trust him to settle the score? You know, it's been a few years, but I finally made the decision, I'm not going to worry about this anymore, whatever that this is. Take a guess, you probably know. So I'm not going to let it bother me. I'm just going to trust God to work it out. Because when God is, you know, sometimes when I'm wanting God to discipline somebody else, he says, no, we're going to discipline you, Tim. We're going to start with you. And that's enough on my plate. I don't need to worry about somebody else, whether they're getting what they deserve or getting corrected by God. God's doing it for me. And years ago, I realized that, you know what, that's what I, and I thought, you know, God's working in my life. This can be exciting, not something I have to dread. So I'm going to trust God to settle the score. And you may not trust, or he may not settle the score today or tomorrow. It may be on judgment day itself, but be rest assured he'll do it. Maybe it's that you need to trust God that he's going to be merciful. I just need to trust God's mercy. I know somebody needs to hear this. You are harder on yourself more than God is. Stop it. Stop it. Relax in the mercy of God. Maybe you need to trust that, no, God's going to do what's best for me. I'm facing some things. Some people are showing me scripture. The Holy Spirit's tilting me to see something here. I need to decide. I just need to trust God with this. It's probably best. So I'll just trust God with it. Let God work it out. Or maybe I just need to remember whenever I start getting bothered that nobody notices me or notices what I'm doing, God does. Maybe I just need to trust that He'll reward my faith because he will. And he probably already is. I don't know what you need to do this morning, but as you look at those cards this morning, I hope you'll make a decision, make a choice. Maybe it's a prayer request. That card, what happens to those cards is they go to people and they pray over those cards. They pray through those cards. They pray your card, your name, and ask God to help you with what you're asking help with. What a privilege and what a blessing here. We're going to let you give you some time to do that. We'll be singing a song, and then you can leave those cards in the basket as you leave. Again, thank you for coming this morning. May God bless you, because God is fair. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your many blessings, Father. Thank you for just your incredible, incredible love and power. And thank you for being so patient, so kind, so true, so right, so holy, and Father, so fair. Father, I know some of us here, I include myself, a partial view of how fair you are, a partial view of your, of what you're about. And Father, we just pray you'll reveal to us more and more how great you are, that we can say with Moses, there's no God like you. And Father, when unjust times come, and they will come because we're in a broken world full of injustice, we pray that we'll rely and trust your justice, your fairness, that we'll count on you to take care of whatever people that give us a hard time, that you'll take care of it. We'll let you deal with them. And Father, that we'll be the kind of believers that not only trust you with that, but will expect to find mercy when you hear our backstory, when you look at our lives. And we won't take advantage of that mercy, but that we'll respond to it with commitment and love in return. And Father, help us trust that you'll do what's best, always do what's best, because you're fair and because you're right. You'll do what's fair and right in our lives. And most of all, Father, we pray that we'll trust that you with the reward, whatever you want to do, we know a crown waits for us when we're faithful. So help us be faithful. We pray all this, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
When it's all been said and done, there is just one thing that matters. Did I do my best to live for truth? Did I live my life for you? When it's all been said and done, all my treasures will mean nothing. Only what I've done for love's reward will stand the test of time. Lord, your true.